Morning. Helen and I this week had an opportunity to spend some time with my son's in-laws. My son and his wife live up in Boston, and we just got together with his parents who live on the south side of Atlanta, spent some time with them, and you know, obviously a lot of the conversation was about our granddaughter, and we have a grandson that would be born in a couple weeks up there. But we also spent a lot of time talking about my son and his daughter. And obviously, when you get together with your son's in-laws, that's going to be a large portion of the conversation. And we shared a lot of stories. And all of our kids played sports. And one of the conversations that came up was that actually my son and Steve, Michael's father-in-law, his son, both were runts. They were little dudes when they were young. But they were great athletes, and so they were targets. If you've not played sports, you know that the goal of the opposing team is to take out the scorers or the high performers. And when the high performer is a low physical person, he's much easier to target. And I was telling this story about this New England tournament, hockey tournament that Michael was in. And I mean, it must have been 10 seconds into his first shift, and the other team put out their biggest guy, and he just wailed on Michael, just beat the snot out of him, trying to take him out of the game. And they got to take out the leading scorer. And so Steve was telling me about his son and similar things that happened. And we talked about our reaction as dads when our sons get beat up, and when they're targeted, and when they're people go after them. And we talked about how, even obviously not just with our sons, but with our daughters and certainly our grandchildren, both of us have been blessed with grandchildren, there's nothing we wouldn't do to stop our kids from getting hurt. And why is that? It's because we love them deeply. And I began thinking, you know, what would the possible scenario be where I would let Michael get beat up? I would obviously have to have a lot of love for some other people, not just my son. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to be taken and crucified on the cross. Imagine that, that he loved us and the people who were crucifying him enough. He loved them so much that he said, I'm going to let them kill my son because I love them so much. Yeah, we sang a song, set a fire down deep in my heart so I feel that love. You know, give me more of your love. He's given us a bunch. He's loved us that much that he only had one son. I got a son, two daughters, four granddaughters, and a grandson to be. There's a lot, but all of his love was pushed right into that one person, and he said, I love the world so much, I'm going to let you be bullied and ultimately killed. Romans 5 says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray together. Father, as we prepare to take the bread and the wine, it's a very important time for us to remember Jesus. It's a special time each week where we gather together, whether it be in homes or in parks or wherever. We stop everything we're doing because the sacrifice of your son on the cross and your willingness to let him be beaten and crucified for us is something that should stop us in our tracks. It should cause us to throw out all the other distractions and really consider the amount of love that you have for us that you let your son be bullied into death. And so, Father, I pray that that will light a fire deep in our souls, that we will feel more of your love after taking the bread and the wine that represent his body and his blood that were given for us, that were poured out for us, so that we can appreciate all that we have in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.